All right, let's read over in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning at the first verse. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain, and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. I love to read a little scripture, especially on Sunday morning. I love to read a little bit because that's our morning devotion, and we need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Now, it's needless for me to say this, but I say it over and over because I am so thrilled with it. Great and mighty things are taking place in the spiritual world. In the world of God, great and mighty things are taking place, and I am privileged to be able to look in on them. And I'm so grateful that God will allow me to have a little, just a little peek, as we say, looking in to see the wonderful things of God. I thank God so much because the Lord hath counted me worthy, not in that I have done anything of my own, but in that Jesus has been so good to me. You know, the Bible said, pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. Pray always that God will count us worthy, not by our own deeds nor by our own doings, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. So then I am glad that God hath counted me worthy through the blood of His Son, that He hath allowed me to look in on the spiritual world and see the beauties, the wonderful beauties of God. You know, in this world, we esteem riches. We esteem glory. We esteem honor. We esteem power. Men in our life, you know, our lifetime or in this world, they love to have power. They love to have glory. They love to have honor. They love to be a great dignitary. They love to have their name, you know, we say, in lights and different things around the world. Men like to do that. And the Lord blesses, and God allows people to do that. A lot of times for His own purpose, like David of old, He said, I've taken you, David, from among the sheepcote, and I've given you a name like unto the great men of the earth. And like Jesus said, His fame spread throughout all the land. And so then God allows for that. And in heaven, it's the same way. There is glory, there is riches, there is honor, there is power. And the Bible tells us that, here speaking of Jesus, said the Lamb of God is worthy to receive honor, to receive glory, to receive all of these riches and all of this power. Said He is worthy to do it. And so then you and I, who are not worthy of our own ability, we can be found worthy in the day of the judgment through the blood of Jesus to receive honor and riches and power and great glory from God. You know, I read to you here where the Bible said, John speaking as he saw the revelation, he said, for God hath made us unto our God, that is Jesus Christ, hath made us unto our God kings and priests. He hath given us great power and great riches and made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign forever and forever and forever. Isn't that wonderful to be a son of God and to know that we are kings and that we are priests, and the world doesn't see it, but yet we are kings and we are priests reigning forever and forever and forever. And while the world finds fault with us, and as our brother Tidwell said, while we have our problems and our ups and downs here, God is looking from heaven and surveying the earth, His eyes throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, wanting to show Himself strong in the behalf of them that walk upright in heart. You know, and God is looking upon us during a time of all of our problems. The Lord is watching us, and God doesn't see not one tiny little thing wrong with us. Saying, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For it is God that justifieth. It is the Lord that died for us. Thus we're without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. God looking at us through the spilt blood of His Son, and every day after we've stumbled, after we've staggered, you know, trying to do our very best, the Lord will say to us, now, son, forget those things that are behind. Forget yesterday. Think about today, because my mercies are new every day. Get you a new start. Get you a new lease on life. And go from here and do something for God. Always willing to forget the past. Always willing to forget those things that are behind. Always willing to do away with all of our stumblings and all of our mistakes. Saying, start over again and do something for me. Oh, that really gives you strength, doesn't it? That gives you strength, that gives you hope, because you know that all of those things that are behind you, and you can just start out and say, oh God, I'm so sorry, Lord, forgive me for my wrong, and help me now to do something, and Lord, help me to shine as a light like I've never done in my life before. And you're so grateful. Surely the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. Then we see the goodness of God, and it leads us to repentance. And we thank, Lord, You've been so good to me. Lord, You forgive me of all of my sins and all of my stumblings, all of my mistakes. I just love You so much the more, Jesus. I want to try so hard next time to never make a mistake. You know, it's such a wonderful thought here. The Bible said that when John looked, he saw a door open in heaven. He saw the throne, he saw the rainbow round about the throne, and he said he saw these 24 elders, and all of them having crowns on their heads, different ones having crowns on their head. Here was kings. Here was kings sitting in the presence of God. Now think about that, a king. Now a lot of people in heaven are going to be kings. Did you know that? There are people in the earth today that are kings in the sight of God. There are great men like Paul the Apostle and different ones that out yonder in the world to come, they're going to be great kings and great leaders and great rulers, and they're going to occupy certain territories and they're going to rule over that, and at a certain time they'll enter into that great city of New Jerusalem and cast their crowns down before the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You know, I've said this so many times, to have a Lord of Lords, you've got to have many lords somewhere, isn't that right? To have a King of Kings, you've got to have many kings somewhere. You can't have a King of Kings if there's no more kings around. And you can't have a Lord of Lords if there's no more lords around. And to think that you and I have been made kings and priests under our God, and that we have the power to rule and reign forever, to be kings in that world. You know, that makes me lose all of my ambition for this life. Isn't that right, Billy? I lose all of my zeal and all of my ambition for wanting to be something in this life as far as something for the world when I think about what I am in the other world through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now he said, but Brother Pike, supposing you get there and you're not that. Now the scriptures can't be broken, isn't that right? Now if we can't rely on the scriptures, we can't rely on anything. If I can't count on God and count on God's word, then I might as well quit anyway. The Bible says that Christ Jesus, through his efforts, not what I'm doing, not what I'm going to do, but Christ Jesus, through his efforts, hath made us kings and priests unto our God. He has already done it. I didn't have anything to do with it. He done it at Calvary. He did it for you. He did it for me. So then I don't have anything to do with it. Is that right? So then I'm counting on God. I'm counting on the word of the Lord that he keeps his word at the end of the way. And when I think about what I am in Christ Jesus and what he's done for me, then I just don't have any ambition in this life to be anything except just what he would have me to be. I want an ambition in my life. I want a zeal in my life. I want a drive in my life. All of my life, I want it to be filled with the glory and the blessings of God. You know, the Lord's been good to me. I feel like a fountain bubbling from my toes to my head. I feel like I'm full of strength and can wrestle a bear. He's blessed me in everything that I go to do. He's blessed me with health and strength and happiness. He gives me life. And sometimes I'm up late, you know. And by all reasoning, my body ought to crumble. But I don't feel that way at all. I feel like the sun shines within my strength. Because God is good to me and God blesses me. And God gives me a burning zeal and a burning fervor in the Spirit to always want to do something for Him. So then I am full of zeal for God. I'm full of the fire of God. I want to do something for Christ Jesus. I look and I read the Holy Scriptures and I see what Jesus has done for me. Now this is what makes me strong. You know, the Bible said be strong in the power of my might. You understand what I'm saying? You see, it's like a dad leading his little child along. He's got him by the hand, and the little child, he stumbles and he can't hardly walk, you know, and the dad picks him back up and says, "That's all right, I've got you, son." And his little old feet have enough strength to go because daddy's hand's holding him up. Is that right? See, and everything the little child wants, he comes close to it. He looks at the bubble gum and the candy and the goodies, you know, and he sees that and he thinks, "Oh, I can't get that." But daddy says, "That's all right, don't you worry, you just show me what you want." That's the way it is with Jesus. That's what makes me so strong. I look around and I say, "Oh God, I can't do that." But he says, "You can do it through me. Just be strong in the power of my might and do whatever you want to. Wherever you put your foot, I'll give it to you. Ask what you will in my name. Just go out and take it and I'll be with you." And you know, and I get in there in the scriptures and I begin to read and it says, "This belongs to me and this belongs to me. And behold, I've given you all things that pertain unto life." And I begin to bubble. And I think, just think, I don't have to do anything. Now, I don't have to do anything. You said you gave me all things that pertain unto life. And then I sit down. A lot of times I do this. I get in the back room and I close the door. I say, "Now, wait a minute. All things that pertain unto life." Let's say, "That's a nice automobile." Now, I don't care for automobiles, but I like to go through it just to see what it consists of, you know.
I said, it's a nice automobile. That's a good, obedient wife. And the children healthy and well. And I began to itemize, you know, and take stock. I said, that's just a good income. You ever done that? I think that's peace, and that's happiness, and that's health, and that's strength. I said, my neighbor's going to be at peace with me now. My brothers and sisters are going to love me. Everything is going to be just right. All things that pertain to life. Oh, God, all things that pertain to life. And I get to itemizing, and I get to feeling better and better and better. And that's why I'm always bubbling all the time like a little stream. I can't help it. Because I get to thinking on those things. Be strong in the power of my might. I get to thinking about the benefits of God and all of these things. I remember David of old. And David said, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. All of His benefits. There's so many great and mighty things in God that He has given to us, and all of it belongs to you and I. This is why that I'm fascinated when I read the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. You know, it's in the fourth chapter that the church actually goes out to meet God in the rapture. Is that right? Where the door is open and John is caught up into heaven, that's where the church goes out. And when I read this and I realize that Christ is the resurrection, and I look back at Calvary and I realize what Jesus did for me, I get to thinking and I say, Lord, there is a door that is open up in heaven. Never before has there been a door open in heaven until Jesus Christ came on the scene. There was never a door between heaven and earth that would let me through or let God through to me until Jesus came. There had never been a door open in heaven. And John, after Calvary, just a few short years after Calvary, he looked away and he caught this vision on the Isle of Patmos, and he saw this great, wonderful door that was open in heaven. He saw the rent veil, and he saw the things that God had done there, and he saw what the Lord had done through the Lord Jesus Christ there. And there he looked and he said, folks, the treasure chest is open. The veil has been rent, and all of heaven and earth is coming out. Every bit of it is coming out. The treasure chest of God has been opened. Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Spirit, and God has opened the treasure chest, and everything that He hath is yours. For shall He not freely with Christ give us all things? Shall He not do that? If God hath not withheld the best from us, which is the Son of God, would He withhold anything less than the best? Don't you like to think of it like that? Because that's the way the Bible teaches it. If God, before willing to begin with, He will give me His very best, will God then later hold back anything that would be less than His best? He would not do it. He gave me His Son. That's the best He can offer me. With Christ shall He not freely give us all things, Paul the Apostle said. So then I see where God has freely given me all things that pertain unto life. All things are yours, whether life, whether death, whether things present, whether the past, whether things to come. All I have to do is just get out there and take it. I believe this. I don't believe that anybody can just be a happy-go-lucky and succeed in life. I believe that you got to do something. I believe you got to do something. The Bible said, whatsoever that man doeth, God will bless it. Whatever he doeth shall prosper. Which is, we say, you must do something to be blessed. You must do something to prosper. God can't make you prosper if you're doing nothing. Whatever he does, it shall prosper. So then I believe that all we have to do is get out there and do something for God, and God will put his blessings on it. Whatever you want to be, it doesn't make any difference. Now, even the sky is not the limit. Even the sky is not the limit. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. Whatever you want to be, if you want to be for God, you can be it. But you got to make up your mind. Put your faith right in God. Make up your mind and drive. Get out there and really drive. Don't take no for an answer. Every opposition you meet, just go right on over it. Everything that comes against you, just go right on over it. It doesn't matter what the wall of opposition is. Don't pay any attention to it. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. See, you get the feeling, I can't. Lord, I can't do it. You get the feeling like you just can't make it. You can't do it. You know, you just can't do it. But then go back and read the Bible. Have the Holy Spirit to bring it to your remembrance. The Bible said you can do it. That's the way I do. You know, I meet something and the devil, he'll say to me, well, you just can't do that. I said, but the Bible says that through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. And the devil's on the run again. And then he comes around, he'll get in the front of you. You know, you've been walking down the street, you know, and somebody getting doing like this, you know, and you can't figure out which way to go. You ever had something like that, you know? And then you say, devil, get behind me. Get behind me, devil. You know, you're walking down the street and the sun's shining behind you and the shadow's in front of you. See, but after a while, if you just keep on walking and keep on walking and keep on walking, after a while, the shadow's behind you. Isn't that right? See, Satan is behind us for Calvary's sake. When Calvary came, that put Satan behind us. All the way behind us. I beheld him, Jesus said, as lightning fall from heaven. I'll give you power to tread on serpents and power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, in Calvary, back there, Satan is behind you. He can't get in front of you anymore unless you let him there by unbelief. Put him behind you. Say, get behind me, Satan. And then look out there to the beauties and the liberties of God and all the blessings of God. And look out there and don't see all the barbed wire strung across in front of you. As we say, you know, all these things is going to confront you and cause all these things to happen to you. Look out there and see all the beautiful laws of liberty and continue in the laws of liberty and praising God and excelling all the time. You know, it just makes me feel good all over. I said, Brother Pike, why does it make you feel so good? Because I believe all this. That's what makes it. I talk about it, but I believe it. And it's got a hold of me. I believe it, and it works for me. And the more I believe it, the more it works, the more it works, the more I believe it. You know, it's like making money. The more money you make, it works that way. Isn't that right? Like the little boy worked for a penny a day, you know, and double the penny, double the penny, double the penny. After a while, you're doing all right. So then the more you believe it, the more it works. The more you see it work, the more you believe it. And after a while, I'll tell you what, you're just so happy and so thankful because you have learned about something that is so mighty. All right, give me just a few more minutes and we're going to close. Now, we have a great opportunity. I know the world is crumbling around us, and I know we could talk about that this morning, talk about the political problems. We could talk about all of the things that are depressing and all the things that would cast a person down. You know, you have to be careful how you program your mind. Isn't that right? You know, you have to be careful how you do that. You can program your mind the wrong way, and your computer will get out of order. So, the devil, he's out to program your mind. God is out to program your mind. And we've got to be sure that we don't lean to our own understanding, but that we trust in the Lord, or trust in the Word with all of our heart, and that we've got to let God program our mind. If God doesn't program our mind, then we're going to crash up. We're going to be a failure. It doesn't matter how great we are, what we think we are, what we have ambition to be, we're going to crash up at the end of the way, because God said in the morning, I will despise your image. God will love them that love Him. God will promote them that promote Him. God will magnify them that magnify God. And them that do not magnify God, God will not magnify them. Why did God magnify David? Because David magnified God. David would sing around the Ark of the Covenant. He would dance. He would praise God. He'd magnify God and say, God is great. God is mighty. Love the Lord. The Lord helped me. I've run through a troop. I've leaped over a wall. And that would get a hold of God's heart, and God would magnify him the more. Because in magnifying David, he magnified himself. Why did he magnify Jesus? Because in magnifying Jesus, he magnified himself. Is that right? See, Jesus said, I do always the things I see my Father do. And as the glory of God came down in Jesus, the world would see God. Because in the life of Jesus, God was put on exhibit. God was displayed in the life of Jesus. Everything going well in the life of Jesus because God was seen there, and God would magnify him. Always lifting Jesus up because Jesus lifted God up. That's why I tell you, people of Bethlehem, pay no attention to the world. Pay no attention to the other people that's around the world. Magnify God. Go by the Word. And God will magnify you. Like Paul said, your faith being spoke up throughout the world. Already, little Bethlehem and the faith of the people are spoken of throughout the world. Everywhere we go, they're talking about it. Why? Because you're willing to go for God. You're willing to be what God wants you to be. You're willing to do like God wants you to do. And brothers and sisters, not only is it spoke of throughout the world already, not only are you praised of the people throughout the world, but I found out that it's like a little pot boiling. It's just about to boil over. It's getting greater and greater and greater and greater. It's getting in such a great way that it looks like the whole world will be praising the people of Little Bethlehem. I mean all over the world, everywhere, because of your efforts and endeavors in God. Paul said, in a good thing I praise you. So this morning I want to praise you in a good thing. When I praise you in a good thing, and that I do it to the least of these, I do it to the Christ Jesus. Because I love Jesus in your life. I honor Jesus in your life. I magnify Jesus in your life. This is the thing that we want to do. Let's walk before God. Let's magnify God. Let's be like Jesus, that God might magnify Himself in us. And the more that we magnify God, the greater God will lift us up. But if we magnify ourselves, if we magnify our own desire, if we magnify our own ambitions, if we have our own desire in life, then we're going to run into trouble. I praise God because we can magnify Jesus. Because we can be more like Jesus. We can love Jesus. We can do everything to magnify Jesus, to lift up Jesus, and to tell the world about Jesus. And in so doing, God will magnify us and raise us up and raise us up and raise us up and raise us up. Oh, I feel so good. I love Jesus. I thank God because this is so real to me. You know, I'd be a sad preacher. I really would be a sad preacher if I had to come here and preach to you and then go home and be so sad, you know. I'd really be a sad preacher. That would be a sad, sad ordeal to talk about something so great and so wonderful and yet not feel it, not enjoy it, not have part of it, not be in it. But brothers and sisters, I can assure you from my heart that I'm in it and it's in me and we're interwoven in one another. And I feel this thing that I'm talking about. I feel it day and night. I a lot of times, God is my witness, whether I lie or not. The Bible said all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. But I get in the living room sometimes over 3 o'clock in the morning and I get to praying. I just get down there and when I fall down on my knees, I just get to bubbling over. I get so happy. I say, oh God, this feels so good. All over I feel so good. Every burden lifted, everything gone, Lord. And I said, I can talk with you and pray to you and feel this wonderful enthusiasm, this drive for Jesus. I just feel so good. God's there and I'm there and we're all together and everything's all right between me and Him. And heaven and earth kisses each other. Oh, hallelujah, what peace. You know, it makes me feel so wonderfully good. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that we could have a little bit of heaven here in our heart. And I'm so glad that that door that John saw open means that you and I can go in and out into the green pastures, set together in the heavenly places and feel the beautiful presence of the Almighty God and have His strength and love. Look, folks, this is what we're going to have. Did you know that? This is what we're going to have. Men are crumbling around us everywhere. Men are falling. We sang that song, hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, signal still. I'll wave the answer back to heaven. By His grace I will. You know, and it says mighty men around you are falling. Mighty men. Mighty men around you are falling. Everywhere mighty men are falling. But oh, hallelujah. If you just let Him have His way. The Bible said if you do these things, you shall never fall. Never fall. You know, your enemy will look at you. You stand off and they'll look at you and they'll think, oh, someday His is coming. I'll be so glad, you know. But oh, I'll tell you what, it'll never be like that. Hallelujah. When you trust God, it'll never be like that. The Bible said he that trusteth in God, he shall never fall if he doeth these things. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Trust Him. Don't lean on your own strength and your own understanding, but trust in God with all of your heart and let God do it. Let God do it and you just go along with God and everything will be all right. Your enemies will be at peace with you. Hallelujah. If your ways please God, He maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. All right, I want you to stand with me. There's just so many things I'd like to say. But you know, it seems you never get them said. You just have to talk to the saints of God, reprove them, correct them, encourage them, and let them know that the battle belongs to the Lord. Like the song that was singing, I remember another song that was similar to it, where it's not promised to the one that can shout the loudest, nor to the one that can say their words the best, but it's promised to the true and to the faithful. He that overcomes and stands the test. And you know, the only way that we can overcome and stand the test is to keep our faith anchored in Jesus all the time. When you feel the pressures coming down upon you, just stand still, resist Satan steadfast in the faith. Don't give, don't budge. Just stand there and all the mud will clear away. And after a while, you'll feel something come down from heaven and it'll run down through your soul and through your heart and you'll feel it. Everything will break up and you'll say, oh God, I thought you was gone. I thought you was gone, but you're still there. Lord, you didn't throw me down. You didn't depart from me. Lord, you still, oh God, I'll never do it again. Never do it again, you know. Just so wonderful, you know, and you, God is still there with you. It's so wonderful. Jim, you know what I'm talking about. Every Christian experiences those pressures and those hard places where it looks like God is thousands of miles away, you know, and then you find out that he's there. You know, I'm so thankful to God because I've been down a lot of bumpy roads, a lot of mountains had to climb, a lot of deep valleys had to go through, and I have learned that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He won't never leave you. You know, the devil will try to convince you that he left you and that you're all alone, but he'll never leave you. Never. You know, let that register the word there. I will never leave you. Say, oh, but Lord, I've made a mistake. I've stumbled. I've done so many things. But he said, I will never leave you. You might have stumbled. You might have erred. You might have done the thing you ought not to have done. David did. It caused him a lot of heartaches. But when he turned his face in the direction of home, he was like the prodigal. The prodigal had squandered all of his living. Everything was gone. About ready to get down the hog pens. You know, you can't get so far until you get out there with the swine, you know. And it's just about gone that far. And all of a sudden, the prodigal came to his senses and he looked up and he turned his face in the direction of home. Hallelujah. When he turned his face in the direction of home, there was that drawing. You know, that's all it takes. Turn your face in the direction of home and then you'll begin to feel that wooing. You'll begin to feel that drawing. And you can hear that voice way off saying, son, son. And the prodigal said, in my father's house. Oh, there are many mansions. In my father's house there's peace and rest and hope. In my father's house there is plenty even for the servants. And I perish with hunger. You know, you get out there and you just be starving to death spiritually. Just can't get just even a little sip. But he said, in my father's house, I'm perishing with hunger, but yet in my father's house, he said, there's just food aplenty. And the Bible said when the prodigal came close, though he really expected the father to frown on him, and he came as one that would be a beggar, willing to get down on his face and say, Father, I know that I've done wrong, but if you'll just make me a hired servant, I'm about to starve to death. Just give me a job. That's all I'm looking for. But to his surprise, that isn't the way God thinks of us. He said, I know my thoughts towards you. They're not evil. They're not bad, but they're good. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said while he was yet a long ways off, his father ran. Just think about that. That father ran to that prodigal, throwed his arms around him and grabbed him and said, my son, my son, my son. Said, kill the fatted calf. Prepare a feast. Put the ring on his finger. Get the very best robe. Everything. Just make it the very best. Said, my son, my son, my son. Just think about that now. He had been in the hog pens. He'd been everywhere. Been cast down, squandered away everything. But it hadn't changed one bit. You know, if you are a son, you are a son. Isn't that right? If you are a son of God, you're a son of God. I can't help what you've done, how much you've stumbled. You're still God's son. If you're God's son, you're God's son. You might have to be cleaned up a little bit and might have to go through the purifying, and you might get a little chastising, which we deserve. But that sweet, loving voice of God still says, "My son, my son, my son." You know, that's the way that you would feel if you've got a son. It wouldn't make any difference how far he wandered off. When he come back, you'd say, "Oh, my son's back home. My son's back home." That's the way God feels. Let's just lift our hands while they play a little something on the instruments up here. Let's just lift our hands. You know, I noticed that John also in his writings, he said, "And they sang a new song." You know, in heaven there's riches, there's strength, and there's power, there's glory. There's the preacher, there's the priest, there's the king, there's the singers in heaven. All are there, all having labored together, and they sang a new song. Let's lift our hands up this morning and worship God. And whatever yesterday holds, forgetting those things that are behind, His mercies are new every day. And so now, Father, I need your help. I've got to have your help. Lord, I want to do something for you now. I once was blind, but now I see. And say, Father, help me now. Help me now. Let me do something for you, Jesus. Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, your Son, Lord, we love you and we praise you. Hallelujah, Holy One. We praise you and love you. And this morning, Jesus, I beseech thee, merciful Father, that you would look down from out of heaven, oh Lord, and bless the children of God. Bless the children of God, for they're the apple of your eye, Father. They're so dear to your heart. You've purchased them with your own blood. And oh, they're so precious to you, Jesus. Reach down and gather them together in the wonderful arms of your glory and mercy. For out of that world, out of that place, oh, Holy Father, comes the abundance of your love and your glory. Father, to bless and to save and to heal and forgive. Oh, sweet loving Father, forgive us every wrong, every thought. And keep us in your mercy, Jesus. Speak to us in the love of God this morning. Enrich us with faith, oh God, to accomplish our purpose in life. For every man hath a desire, every man hath a goal, every man hath a purpose. And Lord, you said if we delight ourselves in the Lord God, he would give us the desires of our heart. And we do delight ourselves in you, Lord. And when we stumble, Father, when we err, forgive us our stumblings and errors. For, Father, we still delight ourselves in you, and we still love you, and we know that you'll give us the desires of our heart. May this be the prayer of every person, Father, not only here at Little Bethlehem, but throughout the world. I'm so thankful that you're able to keep us holy and clean and pure, all by your virtue and grace and purity. Bless us this morning. Sanctify us anew for your purpose, and give us strength and blessings. Dear God, give us a brotherhood and a union throughout the entire world. Help us for your own cause, sweet Jesus. Lord, bless us for the sake of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lamb of God, I come. I come. You know, when you could just yield everything to God, you say, "Lord, here am I. I surrender all to thee, Lord. I surrender. I surrender all." And our hearts and our lives, that God can use us and God can mold us and God can make us. The world is waiting for you. The world is waiting for me. The world is waiting for us to tell them the glad tidings of great joy, that unto us a Savior is born. The government's upon his shoulder, and all the corruption of the world and the government, we don't have to worry about it anymore. But there's a new government, and the government is upon his shoulder, and he's going to set up his kingdom and rule and reign in justice and righteousness forever and forever and forever. Glad tidings of great joy to a troubled world.
Hallelujah. That his government, to the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And that his government shall last throughout the eternities. That man doesn't have to worry anymore. How wonderful. How wonderful. Don't you love him this morning? You know, we sang the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You know, when we sang that, I always think about me, because that was my condition. But through the grace of God, I found life. I found the blessings of God. He, through his worthiness, called me into the ministry. Count me worthy through his grace. Called me to the ministry to tell the glad tidings of great joy. That a king is born. Hallelujah. Unto you a Savior is given. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Can you sing that song, Amazing Grace? Can we sing it together this morning? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. Was the hour I first believed. Praise God, 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 praise God. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing, oh, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Can you sing it with me? You get there before I do. He's coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. He's coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. He's coming.